I'm Jake. You're listening to the Lying Media Bastard Show.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Back in the days when I was a teenager, before I had status and before I had a pager, you can find the abstract. Listening to hip hop, my pops used to say it reminded him of bebop. I said, well, daddy, don't you know that things go in cycles? Way the Bobby Brown is just amping like Michael. It's all expected, things are for the looking. If you got the money, quest is for the booking. Come on, everybody, let's get with the fly mode. Still got room on the truckload of black. Listen to the rhyme to get a mental picture of this black man, black woman picture. Why do I say that? Cause I gotta speak the truth, man. Doing what we feel for, but music is the proof. And planet on the ground, the act is so together. Bonafide strong, you need leverage to sever. The unit, yes, the unit, yes, the unit called the Jazz is delivering each year an LP filled with street goods. You can find it on your rack in your record store. If you get the records, hey, your thoughts are adored and appreciated. Cause we're ever so glad we made it. We worked hard, so we gotta thank God. Dishing out the plastic, do the dance till you're spastic. If you diss, it gets drastic. Listen to the rhyme, cause it's time to make gravy. If it moves your booty, then shake, shake it, baby. All the way to Africa, aka the motherland. Stick out the left, then I'll ask for the other hand. That's the right hand, black man. Only if you are noted as my man. If I get the credit, then I think I deserve it. If you fake news, don't fix your mouth to word it. Get in the zone of positivity, not negativity. Cause we gotta strive for longevity. If you botch up, what's in that? What? A pair of Nike size 10 and a half. Come on, come on. We gotta make noise. Never, ever, ever, ever fake noise. We gotta make noise. Never, ever, ever, ever fake noise. We gotta make noise. Never, ever, ever, ever fake noise. We gotta make noise. Never, ever, ever, ever fake noise.
Time is a ship on a mercy to see. Good thing, good habits of melody.
Be a winner all the time. Can't fall prey to a hip-hop crime. With the dope raps and dope tracks, we move blocks. From the fly girlies to the hardest of the rocks. Musically, the quest is on the rise. We own these excursions, so you must realize that continually, I'll pop my Zulu. If you don't like it, get off the Zulu tip. So what can you do in the times which exist? You can't fake moves on your brother or your sis. But if your sis is a... is a jerk, leave them both alone and continue with your work, whatever it may be in today's society. Everything is fair, at least that's how it seems to me. You must be honest and true to the next. Don't be phony and expect one not to flex, especially if you rhyme, you have to live by the pen. Your man is your man, then treat him like your friend. All it is the code of the streets, so listen to the knowledge being dropped over beats. Beats that are hard, that are funky. It can get you hooked like a crackhead junkie. What you gotta do is know the tribe is in the sphere. The abstract poet prominent like Shakespeare.
We gotta make it. Town. Why clown around? Yo, I peeped your mugshot when the drama went down. tried to catch a nigga sleeping. But little did you know my motherfucking clique was creeping in the land of gambling, hustling, drug trafficking, murdering, muscling. Crime is money, and money is crime. Got to get my loot together so a nigga can shine. Crime is money, and money is crime. If I catch a slipper, son, yo, your dream is mine. Crime is money, and money is crime. Got to get my loot together so a nigga can shine. Crime is money, and money is crime. If I catch a slipper, son, yo, your dream is mine. I'ma tell you what's the word on the street. Cats got fucked up attitudes, plus thugs be holding heat. All the stress got me running for shelter. I seen dice games turn into helter skelter. Grimy niggas only 12 years old, be drenched in gold. So much ice, the niggas cold. Just sold 20 bags to this undercover cat. The motherfucker was informed by a rat slash player hater. A faggot that's vexed, cause the Lucci is much greater. The way to survive, gots to come alive in 95, dude. Cause 96 is near, everybody's in fear. I'll be the getting shot or caught up in the middle, or contracting the package on the low, yo, she looking little. Used to be the meanest chicken on the block. I couldn't tell if she was sick, but she was smoking that rock. Crime is money, and money is crime. Got to get my loot together so a nigga can shine. Crime is money, and money is crime. If I catch you slipping, son, yo, your dream is mine. Crime is money, and money is crime. Got to get my loot together so a nigga can shine. Crime is money, and money is crime. If I catch you slipping, son, yo, your dream is mine. Now every nigga wanna see a mill, and still hold a block down like Big Will. But players from the other side of town is taking niggas for clowns, coming through busting rounds. You would think they was beefing for keys, not only a fraction. Yo, I'm talking gram action. I lost my timing for nickel and diamond. It's all about chains and rings, bigger and better things. You just beginning, son, you ain't popping. I wanna go down Fifth Ave and do my shopping. Hit the Valley Shop, cop a Rolex watch, the Tommy Hill figure and the Ralph Lauren spot. Pick up my shorty, cop a full length, make his and hers, luxury furs. Now I'm shining like a diamond on niggas. Bitches stare at my glare when I'm rhyming on niggas. Crime is money, and money is crime. Got to get my loot together so a nigga can shine. Crime is money, and money is crime. If I catch you slipping, son, yo, your dream is mine.
Scab, or will you be a man?
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Radioactive San Diego, the Lying Media Bastard Show. That just there was the Dropkick Murphys doing Which Side Are You On? For that, we had Real Live doing Crime Is Money, Green Day doing Longview, and A Tribe Called Quest doing Excursions. That Real Live song, I guess I'm a little, I don't know, I guess I'm a little sorry I played it. It's ended up being sort of like thug gangster hip-hop, and with the title, Crime Is Money, I thought maybe it was making a broader political, sociological point. And I guess it was. You know, it didn't seem like it was as much about the rapper glorifying himself as the baddest thug around. But it did have sort of a grim, you know, here's what ghetto life is like. So, take it for what it is, I suppose. I'm Jake, Lying Media Bastards. Let's see. Pardon me. A lot of stuff to talk about today. All sorts of newsy news and music to play and items to mention. Been wanting to say for a while now. A lot of the time when I'm driving around San Diego, I listen to KPBS, which is the local PBS station in San Diego, which I have a real love-hate relationship with. Because on the one hand, it's non-commercial, so I'm not hearing ads for fucking In-N-Out Burger and Joe's Car Lot and, you know, happy hour at fucking crazy stupid sports bar club. But at the same, and also it also has a lot of news and discussion, political issues. Although, of course, from a perspective that's much more moderate than my own. But there's just something about it that's just terrible. There's a frequent tone on National Public Radio. Okay, let me back up. I listen to the station KPBS, which is the NPR station. My mistake. PBS is television, NPR is radio. Moving on. The tone of a lot of NPR is smug and droll and fucking irritating. You know, because they'll have these sort of like these little guys come on and they'll do a funny little commentary about a funny little thing. And now, of course, I can't think of any examples. But just sort of like, you know, it's like a white upper middle class person tells a little quirky tale about something they did. Then you also have that very popular show, the Prairie Home Companion, where all of the jokes are sort of all the jokes. They don't make you laugh. The joke makes you go like, ha ha ha. They make you, oh how witty, oh how droll. And then, and they also have a lot of these sort of mini real life documentary things, which, in my opinion, end up saying that, you know, there's sort of this belief that, like, you know, anything that you see, anything you hear, any life experience, that there's a lesson there. They can teach you a lesson about life, and therefore, the tiniest, most minute things are as important as big, huge, vital things that affect thousands. And, in other words, it sort of means that everything means the same, nothing means anything, and you should all just listen to radio and laugh at the drollery. So I don't like it. I listen to a lot of NPR, I don't like it. But I'm meaning to get that off my chest. So on the show today, we'll talk some about, Lebanon, Oaxaca, Mel Gibson. I can't say nothing about Mel Gibson. Maybe Fidel Castro, a little bit about the elections in Mexico. A few funny little stories from my own life, which I don't mean to be droll and have a greater lesson to tell you. Just, well, something really weird happened to me yesterday, and it's funny, and I'm not a stand-up comedian, but this is my venue. This is my what's the deal with airline peanuts? This is the place I have to tell my funny story, so you'll have to sit there and listen. I just forgot. I remembered one thing I'm going to play. Okay, I'm going to have to find the... Okay. First off, I got some good stuff coming up real soon. I'm getting ahead of myself. But this here... we'll play this one first. This here is going to be David Rovix, popular radical folk fella. And he's done a lot of songs. He's one of those artists who, when I say to myself, I feel like playing some David Rovix, which song of his should I play? There's one song that's so much better than the rest that I never play anything else by him. So this is going to be a David Rovics. And I guess this song also has a little bit more meaning to me because I know what's the story behind it. It's called Oppositional Defiance Disorder, which is the actual name of a so-called psychological disorder, which is identified by sort of a resistance to authority, and frequently it's frequently people who are involved in activism and counterculture stuff, young people, teenagers, of course. The parents are afraid of what they're doing, and oh, they're speaking out against the principal, and they're writing letters to Congress, and they're feeding homeless people with food not bombs, and what's wrong with my child? And they take him to a shrink. And there was one prominent story about a young anarchist who I believe was also involved in a lot of independent music, who his parents had him involuntarily thrown into some sort of one of those camps, we'll treat your child and keep him away from you against their will, sort of places. I can't think of the name. It's like a rehabilitation center is the idea. And but yeah, so this song is about that disorder, that disease, that mental problem that we all know and love, Oppositional Defiance Disorder. I'm Jake, Line Media Bastards. Here's some David Rovics for you.
Remember my record label, teenager though he is, he joined every vile records in the indie music biz. His parents didn't like such turns of events, so they called up a couple of thugs, send him back to Utah, lock him up, and pump him full of drugs. They say he's got problems with authority, yeah, this is what they claim, and their psychiatric analysis has even got a name. Oppositional Defiant Disorder, I think I got it too. Oppositional Defiant Disorder, and so are you. If you think George Bush is a moron and Tony Blair's a liar, if you fantasize about setting your local Walmart on fire, if you don't like Tom Brokaw and you think he's full of it, if you feel a Rush Limbaugh punching bag might be kind of fun to hit, if bombing other countries makes you feel appalled, you have got a problem, and this is what it's called. Oppositional Defiant Disorder, I think I got it too. Oppositional Defiant Disorder, he's sick and so are you. If you think school is boring and your teacher is a fool, if you don't like your congressman and you call them a corporate tool, if you were not standing to sing Save the Queen, if you turned down hamburgers and ate rice and beef, we've got a diagnosis no matter whether you agree. Just do what the doctors tell you, thank God for psychiatry. Oppositional Defiant Disorder, I think I got it too. Oppositional Defiant Disorder, he's sick and so are you.
Forget it, brother, you can go it alone. London calling to the zombies of another breath. London calling, and I don't wanna shout, but while we were talking, I saw you nodding out. London calling, see we ain't got no hide, except for that one with the yellowy eyes. The ice is coming, the sun's zooming in, engines start running, the wheat is cooking, a nuclear error. But I have no fear, 'cause London is drowning.
Miss things to say in a cheeky kind of way.
Cha-ching!
It's Miss Summer in the tick-tick-tick. Man, I have 50 rings, but I got 50 things to say in a cheeky kind of way. Okay.
Cha-ching!
It's Miss Summer in the tick-tick-tick. I don't have 50 rings, but I got 50 things to say in a cheeky kind of way.
Cha-ching!
It's Miss Summer in the tick-tick-tick. Man, I have 50 rings, but I got 50 things to say in a cheeky kind of way. Okay.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Lying Media Bastards Show on Radioactive San Diego. I'm Jake. That dude there was Lady Sovereign, who I've been playing way too much of lately. I'm doing a song called Cha-Ching. Before that, we had The Clash doing London Calling, and David Rovix doing Oppositional Defiance Disorder. Now, really, I should have played more music in that set there, but I really feel like talking. So, first off, let's mention a little music and politics news. We got Tom York, singer of Radiohead. Apparently, he posted a message onto his band's official blog, which, after he made it, it mysteriously vanished. So, actually, let me double-check and see if it's still not there, because that would be kind of upsetting that he would speak from the heart, and then, yeah, looks like that stuff's gone. So here's what he said on his blog. I've had enough of this. He's British, by the way. I've had enough of this, our government sitting on the fence with the U.S. while World War III appears to be breaking out in Lebanon and northern Israel. We must throw Tony Blair out of office now. He does not represent the views of the British people. He does represent the views of his foreign office and officials. He does not even represent the view of those in his cabinet. He cares far too much about his relationship with Bush and Murdoch. The man is not fit to be our prime minister. It's a nice sunny day. Come on, let's do it. You know it makes sense. A vote of no confidence or something, anything. So, hooray for Tom York. Now, I was going to talk about Mel Gibson, of course, today. Not really a big deal. I mean, he's a big movie star, and he's said a lot of creepy stuff in the past. We know, and a lot of stuff, you know, a lot of bigoted or implied bigoted stuff. So the fact that he hates Jews, what? I'm so shocked. Well, then I found this article, which is just really, really funny. This is a author with McSweeney's magazine has put together a fictional, of course, a fictional list of substances and their effects on Mel Gibson, which is very funny. So I'll go through the list here. Beer in Mel Gibson causes anti-Semitism. Wine, hatred of gypsies. Aspirin, mild disdain for babies. Chocolate, distrust of squirrels. Iced tea, quizzing mentally disabled Walmart greeter about his involvement in 9/11, and oxygen has the effect of making him be a total douchebag. So, that's just... I just like the idea that, these things cause these certain feelings and prejudices to rise up within him. He gets drunk on beer, he hates the Jews, drunk on wine, hates gypsies. You know how it is. I'm sure we've all had such experiences, but, no, I mean, at the very least, we've been hearing around the time that he put out his Passion of the Christ movie that, He belonged to this weird-ass Christian or Catholic sect, which I guess, I don't know my religion so well, but I guess in the 70s, the Catholic Church did a bunch of reforms. They called the, I don't know what they called it, there is a name for it, the New Covenant or something, where they did some reforming of the church and how it works and its views and whatnot, and Mel Gibson is part of this Catholic sect which believes that all of those things were wrong, and they're null and void because they're wrong, and they don't believe in the Pope, and it's kind of weird. And he built a big-ass church for this sect in Malibu where he lives. Mel Gibson's father, as we know, is a Holocaust denier. Says the Holocaust of Jews in World War II did not happen, or more likely, there's a lot of more moderate Holocaust deniers out there who say, well, of course, there were, you know, many Jews were killed, but people of many races in many parts of the country died of, you know, the war and starvation. It's a much smaller number than the 6 million, only in the, like 100,000 Jews is what you'll hear some of them say, and I think some of them start to say, oh, you know, you know, the ovens and the poison gas showers, those were really showers. They weren't really poison. So, you know, it's that sort of, you know, ridiculous shit. Now, Mel Gibson, when confronted about this, about his father's Holocaust denial and the fact they're part of the same church and same wacky church and all, Mel Gibson said, you know, I don't have that same belief as my father, blah, blah, blah. But later on in that interview, he also said that, that his father never told him a lie in his life. So his father tells him that there's no Holocaust, and Mel Gibson says he never lies, yet he doesn't believe that. And then he drinks a bunch of beer and says the Jews are to blame for all war. I think we've got our evidence. Also, around that time, I also read this ridiculous interview where Mel Gibson, I forgot how it even came up, but suddenly he like starts talking about gay people. And he says, you know, gay people, they take it up the ass. And then the reporter was like, you know, yes, I understand. Like, tried to ask the next question, and that wasn't enough. Mel Gibson, like, got up out of his chair, turned around, starts pointing at his ass. Says, they put it in right here. And he was just kind of, like, obsessed with gay sex. I don't know. He's but yeah, so he has hundreds of millions of dollars. His Passion of the Christ movie was a wild success. And I'm told, you know, I never saw the movie. Why would I want to? But really, I thought it was funny, the movie. Some people saw it and called it the Jesus Chainsaw Massacre because it was so incredibly bloody. I mean, that really seemed to be the focus of the movie. It was just showing how badly Jesus was getting his ass kicked. Which really is the sort of the theme of most Mel Gibson movies. I find this fascinating. Almost all of his movies are revenge movies where one character just gets beat down and suffers and suffers and suffers until they fight back. And the suffering then justifies them in doing the most heinous violence against everyone else because they're so justified and angry and etc. And that actually, you know, that's like the Lethal Weapon movies, that's The Patriot, that's, I can't think of any other movies that Payback, and I think it's the same thing as the Jesus movie, except that in the end, instead of Jesus, you know, getting revenge and kicking ass, he just dies and voila, Christianity. So, but yeah, that's way more than I need to talk about that guy. What else did I want to talk about? Tom York. Let's see here. I will tell my weird story, because I have plenty to talk about later, but it's going to be a longer me lecturing. I will tell my funny story. I was at a shopping mall yesterday. I dislike the shopping mall. It kind of creeps me out. It is a big outdoor mall with a movie theater in it. And because there's a movie theater there, it seems to be a hangout. It seems like that actually kids will go on dates to the mall. You know, on the one hand, okay, whatever, they're kids, you know, they're not, you know, going to the opera and, you know, They're not going to the bed and breakfast in upstate New York. I understand this, but still, something about, like, yeah, the way we're going to spend our time and our time together is looking at shit we can buy and spending our money on corn dogs or even the idea that, you know, we're waiting for the movie, so what we're going to do is we're going to look at it, you know, we're going to be consumers. We're not going to sit here and talk. We're not going to hang out. We're not going to, you know, stay at home until the movie starts. No, we're going to go there and hang out. Yeah. But anyway, so I'm at this mall, walking along, and then approaching me in the other direction is a tall, thin, elderly fella, and he's dressed far too nice for the mall. He's wearing, you know, like a gray suit and a fedora and, you know, this blue tie, yellow shirt. He's all dapper. And I looked at him a little too long, and he caught my gaze, and he started walking towards me. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just want to, you know, buy my stuff and go. So he walks over towards me, and there's a lot of things that he could have said. You know, there's you know, must be trillions of combinations of words out there in the universe. And he picked one of the most unlikely things that he could have said when he approached me, and he said, can you spare $3 for a Norwegian veteran? I did not expect him to say that. My brain kind of froze, and just even him asking for money, as people often do, I put my hand in my pocket and took my wallet out. He hypnotized me, but it was just very strange. And I thought, well, you know, he's dressed very nice, but, you know, maybe this is his only nice set of clothes, and he goes out and tries to converse with people and get a little money this way, or maybe he's scamming me, or maybe I'm an idiot, I don't know. So I'm starting to take out, I'm not going to give him $3, I decided I'm going to give him $2. So I'm taking $2 out of my wallet, and he says, and I've got something for you. I'm like, whoa, my hand freezes, and he's reaching into the breast pocket of his jacket, and I'm like, okay, if he's going to give me Jesus stuff, this deal is off. I'm not giving him money if he's going to proselytize me and talk about his religion. But he said, I got a plan here for world peace. I said, well, all right, this plan for world peace might have something to do with Jesus, but... Yeah, so gave him the money. He gave me this crazy pamphlet with all these letters he'd written to world leaders over the past few decades. Gorbachev and Reagan and the first George Bush. And I think there was some scripture in there. And then there was like some Native American prayers. And just a weird story. Norwegian vet. Yeah, okay, so... I'm going to play some more music now. Now, let me tell you what I'm going to play, because this, I think, is a lot of fun. There is a group. I don't like the name of the group. The name is kind of long and stupid. The name is Indie Blocked Appella. And what they do is they play indie songs. They do covers of songs by independent, you know, sort of the more famous indie artists. You know, I saw Wolf Mother on their list, and Belle and Sebastian, and Arcade Fire, some bands like that, and they do them a cappella covers of these songs, and so I decided to try to find one that people would know, because, you know, if they're playing a cover of some obscure song, there's no real point to that, but I found this amusing. This is them covering the White Stripes' Seven Nation Army, which many of you have heard before. I've played it on my show before. So let me play this for you. This is Indie Blocked Appella. And then I'll have more stuff later. But Jake, Lying Media Bastards, thanks for listening. Oh, let me mention, too, we have a schedule change with the show. Well, a schedule addition. I do the show live Thursdays 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And now, because we have so much empty space in our schedule, we're starting to rerun shows every week. So that, you know, this show will air twice a week. It'll only be live once. So I'll do the show live on Thursday, and it'll air again, the recording will air Mondays, 7 to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, and because we have the luxury of the local pirate station rebroadcasting us, it actually means I listen to my own show driving to work on Monday, which was odd to say the least, but hey, that's drive time. If any driving to work in San Diego, southern San Diego anyhow, go to 106.9 FM and you can hear me rebroadcast, and it's a blast. Anyhow, here's some music. This will be Indie Blocked Appella doing Seven Nation Army. Thanks for listening. Wait, let me turn this down here.
Come on! Let's go! untimely demise. I'm still watching the world through your eyes. Your insides were never my size. In the car, in the drive home, I wrote your letters. I knew your name. I wrote your letters. I knew your name. I wrote your letters. I knew your name. I wrote your letters. I knew your name.
Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino por no llevar papel. Pa' una ciudad del norte yo me fui a trabajar. Mi vida la dejé entre Ceuta y Gibraltar. Soy una raya en el mar, fantasma en la ciudad. Mi vida va prohibida, dice la autoridad. Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino por no llevar papel. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino, yo soy el quebra ley. Mano negra clandestina, peruano clandestino, africano clandestino, marihuana ilegal. Solo voy con mi pena, sola va mi condena. Correré mi destino para burlar la ley. Perdido en el corazón de la grande Babilón. Me dicen el clandestino por no llevar papel. Argelino clandestino, nigeriano clandestino, boliviano clandestino, mano negra ilegal.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Lying Media Bastards. That is, there was Manu Chao, who played a few shows here in San Diego, or in Southern California recently. I missed them, and I know at least three people who told me that it was the best concert they'd ever been to. So, dope! For that, we had Cake Bake Betty doing Doves, the Immortal Lee County Killers doing Let's Get Killed, and I started that off with Indie Block Depella doing Seven Nation Army. I have mixed feelings about that song after listening to the whole thing. Originally, I thought, hey, this is funny, this is clever, this is original. And now part of me thinks, that was bad and ugly. It's an awful lot of acapella to go around, is all I'm saying. A lot of mouths pretending to be guitars. And, yeah. Let's see here. Now, I got an email just recently from Bob Morris. He runs a little activist blog in Los Angeles called Politics in the Zeros. And he's encouraging everybody to talk about this issue. Which I did see, but I didn't do any research on, and if it's anything like what he says it is, it's awful. So I'll read this article here, parts of it. Bush submits new terror detainee bill. U.S. citizens suspected of terror ties might be detained indefinitely and barred from access to civilian courts. under legislation proposed by the Bush administration, say legal experts reviewing an early version of the bill. A 32-page draft measure is intended to authorize the Pentagon's tribunal system, established shortly after the 2001 terrorist attacks, and to detain and prosecute detainees captured in the war on terror. The tribunal system was thrown out last month by the Supreme Court. Administration officials who declined to comment on the draft said the proposal was still under discussion and no final decisions had been made. Should I keep going? According to the draft, the military would be able to detain all, quote, enemy combatants until hostilities cease. The bill defines enemy combatants as anyone, quote, engaged in hostilities against the United States or its coalition partners who has committed an act that violates the law of war and this statute. Legal experts said Friday that such language is dangerously broad and could authorize the military to detain indefinitely U.S. citizens who had only tenuous ties to terror networks like Al-Qaeda. That's the big question, the definition of who can be detained, said Martin Lederman, a law professor at Georgetown University. Scott L. Silliman, a retired Air Force judge advocate, said the broad definition of enemy combatants is alarming because a U.S. citizen loosely suspected of terror ties would lose access to a civilian court and all the rights that come with it. Administration officials have said they want to establish a secret court to try enemy combatants that factor in realities of the battlefield and would protect classified information. The administration's proposal, as considered at one point during discussions, would toss out several legal rights common in civilian and military courts, including barring hearsay evidence, guaranteeing speedy trials, and granting a defendant access to evidence. The proposal would also allow defendants to be barred from their own trial and likely allow the submission of coerced testimony. So, the Bush administration has just said that they should have the right. You can't see me as I'm saying this. I have my eyes closed. I'm massaging my forehead. Never a good sign. This proposed law would say that the president can declare people with the most vague ties to terrorism, or no ties to terrorism, declare them an enemy combatant. They would be forced to then be tried in a military tribunal court. Would lose all access to civilian courts, lose a lot of the rights that come with it, as the article said. But hearsay evidence means somebody could basically just say, "Yeah, I heard he did this." That would be evidence. There would be no guarantee of a speedy trial, meaning that they could drag it out for years and years. You wouldn't have access to the evidence against you, and. Well, they might not even let you into your own trial. You might be tried in secret, in absentia. And that they would allow a testimony that was given while the person giving the testimony was tortured. In other words, they could torture somebody into confessing to a crime and then use that evidence to say, see, he's guilty. He admitted that he did these terrible things while we were shoving hot splinters under his fingernails and dunking his head in the water. That proves he's guilty. Now, as I said, Bob Morris sent me that email. But it also looks like that they're running into a lot of opposition on that bill. Let's see. It sounds like both Republicans and members of the military are finding that they don't like this plan. So let's hope that that's not going anywhere. I'm going to research that more and make sure that we all can speak our mind on that. We can all get the word out and yell at our congressmen and whatnot when the time comes. Let's see here. Well, something I'm going to have to do today, whether you like it or not, today, this week, etc., is the 25th anniversary of MTV. MTV is a fascinating concept. It's all of the way it used to be. MTV used to be believe it or not, I know some of you youngsters might not believe it, it was not about ride pimping, it was not about teen dating shows, it was not about dating teens' mothers shows. It was not the real world. It was not the real world competing with the road rules and so on. It was a channel that showed music videos and had interviews with musicians. It was very, very unique at the time. But to me, what's just fascinating about it is that a music video is an advertisement for an album. And MTV would either get these videos sent to them for free by all the record companies saying, please play our video to promote our band's album, or they would get money. They'd get paid. They'd say, please play this video. We'll give you money if you play it. And then on top of that, MTV would air. All the programming was advertising. And then in between those advertisements, between the advertising, they would sell advertising time and have commercials. So it blew my mind that MTV was a program that was 100%, it was a channel, it was 100% advertising. All the content was free, except for, you know, paying the VJs to come on and talk about the videos you'd just seen. It seemed like to me it was like pure profit. And for some reasons I don't quite understand, they decided instead they wanted to have all this original programming. I guess there's a chance for a higher return that way. You know, you can draw more people in. But to me, hell, well, wouldn't that just be a great thing? You own a TV station where all the content is free, and all of the and people pay you to advertise on there. That'd be a nice gig, huh? Free money. But yeah, MTV 25th anniversary. We have to respond to this, and I think you all know how we're gonna do it.
The say why. Could it be they put out one too many lousy records?
MTV, get up the air now!
I had no choice. MTV has a 25th anniversary, and I have a choice of not playing Dead Kennedys' MTV Get Off the Air? I don't think so. I think that was mandatory. I would have lost my DJ license had I not. But yeah, the MTV, owned by Viacom, one of the six largest media companies in the world. Huge impact on culture internationally. Sadly, on the one hand, of course, MTV does a good job of preaching tolerance, and theoretically, it does have an impact on getting young people around the world to overcome racism and homophobia and that sort of thing. To some extent, of course, it's just that sort of the message they give, and hooray for that. But it also tells them to be consumers, and that all there is to life is movies and music and being a fan, and sadly has helped promote this whole concept that your goal in life should be to get on a reality show so that you can do your everyday life and get famous and rich for it, which doesn't really work. But so yeah, MTV Get Off the Air now let's see, should I talk more or should I play some more music? I'll talk briefly. Fidel Castro. As you heard this week, Fidel Castro went in for some surgery due to intestinal bleeding, they say. A very wonderful thing to think about. And in the process, temporarily ceded power to his brother Raul Castro. And people went apeshit. I really don't understand. I mean, this has happened before, where presidents or people with high power, they'll go and they'll give somebody else the reins while they're getting surgery done, while they're recovering, and they come back. This happens in the United States. This happened several times. And nobody went around saying, oh, this means the end of the American presidential system. And I mean, sure, it's entirely possible that Castro's health is much worse than he's letting on. Maybe he's dying. Maybe that's the end of Castro's reign, but we don't have anything that really even implies that. And yet everybody's like, oh, the future of Cuba. What does this mean for Cuba? Raul Castro, who's he about? Will we have a sudden crisis of immigrants fleeing Cuba to Florida? What? All we know is the dude had surgery, and he said, while I'm getting better, you can be the president. And on top of that, I mean, Raul Castro, from what I read, he's the head of the military and is a little bit more repressive than Fidel. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of premature talking about that one. Of course, the biggest story of the week continues to be the Israel-Lebanon situation. We've got, it's just so bad. It's the, just today, the organization Human Rights Watch, which some of you might not know the name, but it's very similar to, in the way it functions, very similar to an Amnesty International. They have declared that Israel is guilty of war crimes in the way that they've been going after the Lebanese population rather than just Hezbollah. Let's see, let's quote here. Israeli forces have systematically failed to distinguish between combatants and civilians in their military campaign against Hezbollah in Lebanon. Pardon me. The pattern of attacks in more than 20 cases investigated by Human Rights Watch researchers in Lebanon indicates that the failures cannot be dismissed as mere accidents and cannot be blamed on wrongful Hezbollah practices. In some cases, these attacks constitute war crimes. The 50-page report, Fatal Strikes, Israel's Indiscriminate Attacks on Civilians in Lebanon, analyzes almost two cases of Israeli air and artillery attacks on civilian homes and vehicles. Of the 153 dead civilians named in the report, 63 are children. More than 500 people have been killed in Lebanon by Israeli fire since fighting began on July 12th, most of them civilians. Now, here's a sort of a damning point, too. Human Rights Watch researchers found numerous cases in which the Israeli Defense Forces launched artillery and air attacks with limited or dubious military objectives, but excessive civilian cost. In many cases, Israeli forces struck an area with no apparent military target. In some instances, Israeli forces appeared to have deliberately targeted civilians. In one case, an Israeli airstrike on July 13th destroyed the home of a cleric known to have sympathy for Hezbollah, but who was not known to have taken any active part in the hostilities. Even if the IDF considered him a legitimate target, and Human Rights Watch has no evidence that he was, the strike killed him, his wife, their 10 children, and the family's Sri Lankan maid. On July 16th, an Israeli aircraft fired on a civilian home in the village of Aitaron, I pronounced that badly, killing 11 members of the Al-Akras family, among them 7 Canadian-Lebanese dual nationals who were vacationing in the village when the war began. Human Rights Watch independently interviewed 3 villagers who vigorously denied the family had any connection to Hezbollah. Among the victims were children aged 1, 3, 5, and 7. The Israeli government has blamed Hezbollah for the high civilian casualty toll in Lebanon, insisting that Hezbollah fighters have hidden themselves and their weapons among the civilian population. However, in none of the cases of civilian deaths documented in the report is there evidence to suggest that Hezbollah was operating in or around the area during or prior to the attack. Now, we have heard reports of this, of Hezbollah coming by a residential area, firing some weapons and then leaving. So it does sound like there might be some element of that. I don't know if it's deliberate. I don't know if it's the idea that, hey, if we fire from here, the Israelis won't attack us. I don't know if it's, hey, if we attack from here, Israel will attack and kill these civilians and we'll get more sympathy. But what I do know is that if you complain that your enemy is using their civilians as human shields, and then you go kill those civilians, you lose the moral high ground. You can't use this as an excuse. You don't say, oh gosh, I can't hurt this guy because he's carrying... Look how immoral this guy is. He's hiding behind a little tiny cute bunny. And then you kill the bunny. You killed the bunny. You know, this human shield is the idea that your enemy knows that there's civilians there and won't attack you. If you go attack anyway, there's no moral superiority going and killing civilians because your enemy's in the way. The moral high ground is you saying, oh, fuck, we can't attack our enemies because there's civilians in the way. That would be the way that, like, some moral country would act. You know, maybe there aren't any moral countries. Maybe there is nobody that would do that anymore. Maybe everybody would be on board for dusting civilians if they're standing nearby the enemies. But I'm just saying, you know, you don't get any points, Israel, for saying Lebanese human shields. I have another article here. The United Nations is trying to remind the world about Israel's attacks on Gaza, saying that it is at least as serious as the situation in southern Lebanon. Then we know how bad the situation in southern Lebanon is. That's all we hear about, and they're saying Gaza is just as bad. More than 140 people have been killed during Israel's operations there over the past month, many of them civilians. Delivery of food and other essential items has reduced to a trickle. 38 agencies have backed the United Nations appeal, with one charity speaking of a sense among aid agencies that Gaza's population was being terrorized. Care International told the BBC that Western nations had failed to put pressure on Israel to rein in its actions, that attention was being focused on Lebanon at the expense of the situation in the Gaza Strip. Israel says it needs to target civilian areas because that is where the militants base themselves, but aid organizations say Gaza's population of 1.4 million is living in perpetual fear. So, again, people must protest the Israeli actions. People say, well, wait, you know, but Israel's being attacked too. They're firing missiles at Israel from Gaza and from Lebanon, which is true. But, you know, unless the figures have changed, yesterday, Hezbollah launched 190 rockets into Israel and killed one person. That's what I heard yesterday. I heard 190 rockets, one death, which is terrible. I wish that person was still alive. I wish those rockets had not been fired. But, in comparison, You know, you get 190 rockets and one death in Israel. Then the Israelis attack Lebanon, kill 50 people, blow up three homes and a hospital. You know, just Israel is out of control. I gave a while back, I gave some information about protesting outside Israeli embassies. There's a call for a whatchamacallit, a day of action on August 12th, protests and marches. I think you want to go to internationalanswer.org for that. Not a big fan of Answer, but whatnot. And then if you go to unitedforpeace.org, they next week are having a call Congress in the White House every day. I take that back. They're having an emergency week of action August 7th to the 11th. They're saying that Congress is off during that time period, which means that your local congressman will probably be in your hometown in easy reach of you guys. So y'all can go find where your congressman, local congressman lives, where he works, and go protest, try to get his attention, say this is a terrible thing and you need to do something about it. Because Israel would listen to pressure from the United States. They just don't want to put any on there. And also the... let's see. They also on United for Peace and Justice have links to actions going all across the country, where up against the Israeli forces. Looks like something next week in El Cerrito, California, Sacramento, San Francisco, Orlando, D.C., Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, New York, Seattle, probably more. But for all that, go to UnitedForPeace.org. I also wanted to read a friend of mine. A good friend of mine is in Palestine right now, in the West Bank. Thank God. I'm very pleased that that this person is in the West Bank instead of Gaza, because Gaza is facing such terrible times right now. This person, and I'm trying to be very vague because I didn't actually get this person's permission to talk about their trip, and they've been sending out reports of their experiences. I will call this person X for now. So X didn't give me permission. But I do. This piece that X sent back was so powerful. And I might give this person a name next week after I get to talk to them. They sent this piece that was just so powerful that I do want to read some portions of it. The idea X is over there because, as an American... the Israeli forces in Palestine are sort of afraid, or at least reluctant, to do anything to harm the Americans, the other internationals, they call them, people from America and Europe, because, you know, there would be international repercussions, where sadly the killing and harassment of Palestinians does not have that. But let me just read you this bit. This is from the West Bank. What I most want people to understand from the updates I write is how absolutely total the Israeli occupation of Palestine is. It is impossible to fully explain how the occupation corrupts everything, no matter how beautiful, no matter how innocent, no matter how good. There is never rest from its onslaught or from its reaches. No place and no Palestinian can ignore it, not for a day, an hour, or even a minute. Its violence may come at you whenever. Is a constant demand to believe in its mantra that the Palestinian people are inferior and what is theirs is truly not. Everything belongs to Israel. Most Palestinians in the West Bank have never seen the ocean. They have not been to Gaza. They are isolated, their lives a series of checkpoints. The soldiers decide the direction their lives will take. If they can go where they desire to, or if they will be turned back, if they will be arrested or taken to Shabak for questioning. And then this X was out in some part of the desert and says, high on this hill, it seems insane that this is how the world is. Laying on a rock smoothed by the wind in the middle of nowhere, the sky so clear that it seems to be made up exclusively of stars. You can literally see the Milky Way and the position of the earth within it. But lest you forget that brutality surrounds you, that for the people in the camps below, you are the only thing between terror and some fleeting feeling of security. You hear F-16 fighter jets. You hear the rattle of machine guns and the intermittent thuds of bombs. In between the dark hills in front of you to the west, the sky glows red. Gaza. The occupation reminds you never to forget. So, it's very hard when I would like to be even-handed and talk about how every... And it's easy to do. Everybody's wrong. Anytime there's a conflict, you can find the problems. Oh, these people are doing wrong, and these people are doing wrong. Let's condemn everybody. But when it comes to situations like this, clearly, the Palestinian people as a whole are being oppressed by the Israelis. That's just a given. I mean, so at what point do you say that the oppressed people shouldn't be allowed to try to stop the oppression by fighting back? You say they should you say violence is wrong, you should sit there and accept that? You know, okay, Palestinian people, you're oppressed, but it's wrong to fight, it's wrong to shoot back at soldiers, it's wrong to, you know, throw rocks at tanks, therefore, you know, accept your slavery? That's a sad thing. You know, I would have to wonder if it was modern day, if modern day America had slaves still, to what extent would the American people say, tell the slaves they should just take it? To what extent would an American person be supportive of, say, a slave revolt? I don't know, and it's not a pleasant thought. And speaking of unpleasant thoughts, here's a. As I've mentioned in the past, I'm sure, I get a lot of the music that I play on my show from various MP3 blogs across the internet. One of them I go to is one called Copyright, and all that it is it's cover songs. I don't know, I don't use that many songs from this blog, but there's a lot of fun material there of famous or powerful songs, or even stupid, terrible songs that are being covered by another band, and I visited the site today, only to find out that the author of the site, who, I don't know if this is a man or a woman, sorry, person named Liza, so I presume is a woman, says that, basically, it's looking like she has some serious health problems, possibly lymphoma, which is a terrible cancer of the lymphatic system. The lymphatic system runs through your whole body, and as I understand it, it's kind of what keeps your tissues moist. It runs moisture through your body, liquid water. And Liza slash, I guess her her posting name is Lobstar, is mentioning that they have this terrible problem and that they're going to have to spend an awful lot of money for scans and treatment because they don't have a medical insurance. And they sort of, with a lot of self-loathing, they sort of beg if you can spare any cash to give them some money on PayPal. So if you want to help somebody else out, you might want to do that. The link is copy.write.blogspot.com. That's all spelled out. So copy.write. copy.write.blogspot.com. So we hope that Liza the Lobstar is going to be all right, but sounds like she could use some help. I guess I'm going to get back into the music, and but I will try to come back and talk a little bit about Mexico. Just lots of stuff going on there. But speaking of the Copy Comma Right website, on this week, Liza posted a number of covers of New Order. The electronica band New Order, that formerly was Joy Division. When Ian Curtis died in Joy Division, they sort of morphed from kind of dark, gothy, new wave to more techno-pop. But sort of as a testament to how good a lot of New Order songs are, there's a number of covers just sort of done on regular non-electronic instruments and sung by people with more vocal talent than the folks of New Order, and a lot of the songs really hold up. So this is a band called Flunk. Never heard of, don't know anything about them, but here's them doing a cover of New Order's True Faith. So I'm Jake, Long Media Bastards. We'll talk more about horrible shit later. And I'll try to get in a little bit of positive stuff before the day's done.
He ended up really, really, really sad. Mr. Make Him Glad. To swim the Mr. Misty Sea and seize the Mr. Mystery that Mr. made him sad. He ended up sad. He ended up sad. He ended up really, really, really sad. He ended up sad. He ended up sad. He ended up really, really, really sad. He ended up sad. He ended up sad.
Music makes you feel downright patriotic, doesn't it?
Our nation must come together to unite. I know the human being and fish can coexist peacefully. Nobody needs to tell me what I believe, but I do need somebody to tell me where Kosovo is. The illiteracy level of our children are appalling.
Beware, I live.
I wake up to a caffeine, cigarette vaccine, and bathing water I wouldn't drink before gasoline. Feel like a loser cause I'm not in Fallujah, paying a Land Cruiser with an Iraqi then taking his Ruger. No M16 to give me a callus. For geo-pubarellis. Baby suicide bombers hurdle suitcases in a nursery. I'm in a deli and tuna tasting the mercury. Then try to wash it down with a $2 bottle of water. Get on the train and think of terrorists or box cutters. Gun concealer cause I see a real reality. When I breathe through my nasal cavities, killing my batteries. Bombs in Metropolis out all eye sockets. Esophagus is melted out. Some shy group will get their props for this. Oh, I need petrol for my Mercedes. But I'm not trying to kneel or die for Emperor. I'm crazy, but I will not just follow the herd. Unless, of course, it's a group to lynch Mike Bloomberg. Me and Pimp by gas pumping all its Saudi members are like, fuck you, with New York's two middle fingers. If the opposite of pro was a con, then look, be honest, the opposite of Congress must be progress. What if the second coming to boarding and put in the dirt? I still don't know what to wear with this orange alert.
Run.
I was proud the other day when both Republicans and Democrats stood with me in the Rose Garden to announce their support for a clear statement of purpose. You disarm or we win.
American flags fly, morale's high. Unit of 20 or so repelling from Apaches in the sky. Into a village of killers, little Jimmy from Jackson, Mississippi just graduated and seeing action. M16 lock loaded and spinning properly. Whoever's in that line of fire, that's full of democracy. Turn a corner. Up to the nose storm, blown off. This is not PS2, so calm. Jimmy stays so calm. Shoots counting nothing, riddled in his back. Answers come flying out his stomach. Face down and his face up in the bed, almost dead. Eyes slightly open, IV bag and no legs. A couple sandwiches, some bloody bandages. In a room full of amputee GI amateurs. He gets the word that his unit didn't make it. Got a free ticket home to flatline before he got to take it.
We're certain there are people can't stand what America stands for. We're certain there are madmen in this world, and there's terror, and there's missiles, and I'm certain of this, too.
I hunger.
Cops take the scene up, gunner downs nine. They chasing away kids playing hopscotch in this chalk outline. Two F-16 screeching iridescent sky. Look down, we're not in Iraq, we're in NY. Rats in the streets, we move underground like earthworms. Two coasts couldn't abort Satan in his first term. The army in the subway, walking with toolies. I'm on a train with the back of the dollar bill still talking to me. Drive with my laugh, I know what's right, my weapon hand. Like the map of D.C. streets, still shows a pentagram. License on a car window when I pass through. You seen the news, no joke, New York Police Department will blast you. My weatherman party is invite-only soldier. Cause with one wave of King G-Dub scepter, it's over. The right to assemble puts the Bureau's team on you. Look into my file and nod to this while Jello screams on you.
By our efforts, we have lit a fire in the minds of men. It warms those who feel its power. It burns those who fight its progress. And one day, this untamed fire of freedom will reach the darkest corners of our world. It is the policy of the United States to seek and support the growth of democratic movements and and institutions in every nature and culture with the ultimate goal of ending tyranny in our world, except right here at home. Yeehaw! Don't mess with Texas. Don't mess with Texas. Don't mess with Texas. Don't mess with Texas. Connie, Connie, give me some pretzels. Rummy, Rummy, give me that Bible. Give me that Bible with the pages cut out and got my cocaine in. Come on, come on, don't mess with Texas.
Hey there, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Radioactive San Diego, Lying Be a Bastard Show. I'm Jake. That is, there was a band called Candy, the song called Drips Like Honey. For that we had, we have Cage doing Grand Old Party Crasher. They Might Be Giants by request. I played a little bit of They Might Be Giants lately, and somebody wrote me an enthusiastic email. Keep playing them, but They Might Be Giants. And we started off with Flunk covering New Order's True Faith. Now, I can't believe I'd forgotten it, let it go so far on the show without mentioning it, but a number of times on my show, I've talked about DJ Luna. DJ Luna being a small white cat, not that small, large white cat, who lives here at the Radioactive San Diego compound. Often, whether you wanted her in here or not, she often was. And, we have one window that we have to keep open so our electrical cables and things can get out of here, and Cat often gets in through that. And the first time Luna came in the studio, it was probably springtime. I sat down and Luna has sort of, like me and most cats, it's really a standoffish thing. You see a cat, you go, hey, it's a cute cat, I'm gonna go pet it. And the cat just kind of glares at you. You try to pet it, and it arches its back up, and it's very obvious it wants nothing to do with you. And so it started off. Then one day, Luna Wong comes into the studio, sits down on my lap, and is rubbing against me. Well, how cute. The cat likes me. And the cat leaves, and I was covered in shedded cat hair. I don't think the cat wanted to snuggle up. I think the cat wanted to get all its damn hair off of me and thought, let me rub against this sucker. So Luna made frequent appearances on the show. Would sometimes come up and nuzzle the microphone while it was on. Smack her head against it, making noises. On several occasions, I had my notes for the show laying on the seat next to me. We have sort of these bench seats here. And Luna would walk over and fall asleep directly on my stack of notes. And, yeah. But, yeah, the sad news, Luna passed away this week. And we found out, looks like she might have been hit by a car. So, sad news to report, alas. But, life goes on, I suppose, for the rest of us. I don't have anything funny to say or poignant or nothing. Just cat. The cat which made frequent appearances on my show is no more, and we'll miss the cat. Now I wanted to mention a story that I'm sad I have not been covering in Oaxaca, the state of Oaxaca in Mexico. I heard about the beginning of this months ago. I guess it's a regular thing in Mexico, in Oaxaca, that the teachers from all over the state come to Oaxaca City, the capital, and have this huge march. I think they said it was like 70,000 teachers march in the streets, demanding better pay, better conditions, etc. Sometimes it gets bad enough that the teachers, the march isn't enough. They camp out in like the parks in the city and continue to have more marches and more protests. But usually after a week or two or three, they sit down with the government, they negotiate a deal, and things continue as they were previously for the rest of the year. But this year, for some reason, the teachers went, they had their march, they had their strike, they're camped out in the streets, and Governor Ulises Ruiz Ortiz decides that I need to crack down on these people. Don't know why, this is his decision. They actually, from what I read, the police went in and smashed up all the tents that the people were living in. There was a police helicopter dropping canisters of tear gas on the crowd. The shelters were smashed and burned. And they'd had a little radio broadcast going that they called Radio Plantón. The first thing they did was take that apart. And the people fought back. They didn't like being attacked by cops, so it's saying that, cement and cobblestones were thrown at the police. Two police cars were torched. And at least 40 teachers were arrested, and many were injured. And, of course, this really got everybody riled up. And this was no longer just teachers protesting for wages. This was now widespread, the citizens of Oaxaca against the governor, and against the Ruiz Ortiz. And it's just been going on. This began, the march, I believe, was... the march was May 15th. And in the middle of June was this crackdown. And the rebellion is still going on. The most recent of which, I always love hearing about people rising up and taking control of the mass media in their area. So there's a 2,000 women marched in on August 1st. Down in the Zocalo, in the center of Oaxaca, calling for the removal of the governor. And after the main march had taken place, about 350 women broke off from the main thing, went down to Channel 9, the state-owned television station, walked right in the middle of the afternoon, took the station off the air, and then asked for a little help from some local folks about who knew how to run cameras and run a TV station. Brought them in, and by evening they were broadcasting their own stuff, broadcasting their own news and their demands, and talking about what's important to them, what concerns them about the city. So thought that was pretty cool to hear about, that the folks rose up, took back the TV station. Other news regarding Mexico, Mexican elections, American press apparently does not understand how Mexican elections work, which is not a surprising thing that you wouldn't know, how another country's electoral system is set up, but if you were a news person, you think you'd find out. I guess with Mexico, it's not like here where it's, the results are done and certified in like a day. It's, there's some sort of central agency, a group of judges, which sounds sounds like they're relatively impartial. They're the ones who make the final decision about who won the election, about how the vote count went, and and they have until the first week of September. You know, the election took place like a month ago, but they have all the way until the first week of September to finally make a decision about the results of the election. Well, the American press was used to the American system where you find out that day who won. So they looked and saw that the right-wing candidate, Calderon, he got slightly more votes. So they decided that, you know, okay, this guy's the winner. Now, there's been a lot of allegations of shadiness and electoral fraud, and it really sounds like depending on what part of the country you were in, and depending on how many voting, you know, like, election monitors there were, that really determined how how legitimate the vote count was. You know, I've heard a lot about rural areas where the electoral staff was visibly stuffing the ballot boxes with ballots for their candidate. You heard about local villages where the total number of votes was greater than the total number of people who live there. Just a lot of shady stuff, and the guy who got second in the first vote count, AMLO, I forget his name, Lopez Obrador is his last name, he's demanding for a total count of recount of all the votes. And yeah, that was the shadiest bit, was that when they found a couple ballot boxes in the junkyard, they literally at the city dump, they found some boxes of ballots. Now those things don't just end up there by themselves. Nobody sees a box of ballots and thinks, oh, that must be today's trash. I'll go take it down to the dump. You know, it's all kind of suspicious. And Lopez Obrador has been calling for a recount. His supporters have been calling for a recount. American newspapers have been saying how irresponsible it is for them to be doing this, and claims that they don't want a recount. They just want their guy put in office, which on the one hand, I'm sure they do. On the other hand, they're not saying, we demand Lopez Obrador be the president. They're saying, we demand a recount, which actually is very democratic when you think about it. And this is, I'm fairly certain that this attitude of the American press is why Florida and the 2004 presidential elections turned out the way they did. They feel that they have more responsibility to keep the calm than they do to maintain truth and justice there. You know, I think if you'd come right up to them with evidence of electoral fraud, they probably would have turned it away because they were afraid it could lead to some sort of crisis, constitutional crisis, it can in some countries. You know, if there's controversy, if they think somebody's trying to steal power, people will speak out, people will do something. And the American press, God bless them, they don't want that to happen. So let's just go along with the path of least resistance. I'm really running out of time, and there's a song here I want to play for y'all. Okay, now I've talked many times about the South Central Farm in Los Angeles, the big area of green space where poor folks live in South Central were growing their own crops. And it was this great communal thing. And the city sold the land out from under the people who were farming it. And the situation's not going well on that front. The farmers just lost a lawsuit. They're going to keep fighting. They're going to keep appealing. But I can't say I'm optimistic about what's going to happen. But last year, there was a benefit show at the farm, a concert, which included several bands. Son de Madera, Y Quetzal, I think a band called Los Cojitos, and Zach De La Rocha of Rage Against the Machine performed with some of these bands, which is, I think, why it got so much press. But somebody recorded the show, Sherman Austin, former political prisoner Sherman Austin of Los Angeles, recorded the show and put it up on his website. So I have some tracks here. I'm going to play one long track, very pretty, by Zach and Quetzal and Son de Madera, all playing together. That'll be the last thing I do. Okay, I'll play the song, and I'll make a couple quick announcements about events coming up, and that'll be the end of the show. I'm actually going to run late today. Yeehaw. I'm Jake, Lime Media Bastards. Thanks for listening. This has been another edition of the Lying Media Bastards radio show. That is, there was Quetzal Son de Madera y Zach de la Rocha from the South Central Farm compilation CD. You can download for free at shermanaustinmusic.com. Enjoy that. I'm going to make two quick announcements of upcoming events. First, August 12th, there will be a large protest against about Israel's occupation of Lebanon, 12 o'clock at Balboa Park, at meet the fountain of Balboa Park at noon, Saturday, August 12th. And also, San Diego Food Not Bombs has come back to life. They will be serving in North Park starting this coming Sunday. If you want information about that, go to sandiegofnb.org. I don't think they have much of a site, but you can send them an email, ask them what's up. I'm Jake. Thanks for listening. If you want to hear more of this, listen to the rerun Monday morning, 7 to 9 a.m., or download the show. Read my other politics, lyingmediabastards.com. And if you know where I live, having a party on Saturday, you're invited. If you don't know where I live, you're not. Thanks for listening. Bye.